Yep, there we are. But we got a few announcements real quick here. We also just remind you, we have a fellowship meal following service today. We hope you can stay. Also, next Sunday, 3/28, Compassion Cafe. It will open between 9:30 and 10:15 in the conference center. Come enjoy a delicious hot breakfast, coffee, milk, and juice, all for a free will donation that will help those in need. Now, if you don't know what that does, we put the money where it's needed for missions, for reaching out to people who need help. If there's something in our community that needs some help, then we help there. If there's something in the country, then that's what we do. Years ago, God kind of directed us. You know, for a long time, we only gave to certain areas, and he said, all right, now, start here and go out. So we look, whenever we sit down every month to figure out where we're going to put our tithe from the church, we go from here out. We help more ministries here because there's a lot of them that are overlooked. And seeing how a lot of churches just shut down, some of them are just now reopening. And so if they were supporting anybody or helping anybody, their funding got cut off. And they were still trying to do their job, as many of them are. But praise God. You know, I think we're living in some exciting times. I'm going to share some things today. I know some of them are going to be kind of, I don't know. But if you hold the excitement of the God that you serve, we do not serve a dead God. He's alive and well. He knew all this stuff was going to happen. He knew Corona was going to show up. He knew what was going to happen in our election. No matter how many false prophets stood up and said, this is how it's going to end, God said, don't get your hopes up. So let's just remember, God knows what's going to happen. And right now, we honor him with our tithes and offerings. So let's bless him, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord, that you know all that is happening. You know all that is going to happen. Father, you know the truth of what has happened. So, Father, we pray right now that you move in this country and in this body. Father, we present to you today our tithe and our offering. Lord, it is the toil of our sweat and blood sometimes, Father. We pray that you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated and super kids are dismissed. And can we, Jason, can you turn these two fans up a little bit more? They might move some air. It's really warm up there. Whew. Praise God. Well, how many of you worked yourself to a frizzy yesterday? Nobody? Good. Did you just enjoy the sunshine when it finally did come out? Praise God. It's a good thing. The sun and the heat really do something for you. We thank Bob and Karen for bringing that back from Florida for us. And North Carolina, yes, I forgot, yes. Yeah, they bring in the warm air to us this morning. Oh, praise God. Now I got a question. How many of you, the time change is still kicking your backside? Holy moly. I told Angela, I said, before this time change, I was good. I was waking up naturally just before 7 o'clock, and I was good to go. I said, now I can't open my eyes until 9:30. And I said, this is ridiculous. But I'm staying awake until 1. I mean, I'm not taking a nap or anything. I'm like, God, I am really messed up right now. Set me straight. Well, like I told you last week, God, I was doing some study for another message, and God began to show me scriptures in the book of Proverbs, particularly. And in true God fashion, he adds more this morning. As I was going through some things, I was looking up a particular word, and I saw some other things, and it's like, okay, we're going to add this in on it. And because God is wanting his people to see where they're at today. If Peter, Jude, all of them thought that it was important to bring it up nearly 2,000 years ago, how less important is it today? We're all concerned, well, you know, they've been saying Jesus is coming back for 2,000 years. Well, quit putting God in your time frame. God's time frame is not ours. Okay, so that's why, one of the reasons why I know this comes as a shock to some people, most of you have heard me say it before, I do believe the earth is millions, perhaps billions of years old. We aren't. We were hand-created. Here's the fallacy of all their teaching of scientists who push evolution. We crawled out of the primordial pool, and we came out of the oceans and out of the waters. Where does your Bible say you came from? The dust. What are we? Dust. When this body dies and it's broke down, if you haven't been embalmed, well, if you don't already have enough preservatives in you now to keep you good to go for a couple thousand years, you know, when they embalm you, it's even more. But there was a time in life this body broke down to dust. Everything broke down to dust. We didn't come from some primordial pool. God handcrafted us. He had a vision. He looked at us, set us up, and he said, I'm going to look at myself. And he made us in his image. So always understand that you were created in God's image. Well, boy, God's got a funny... Listen, sin on the world has taken toll on everything. It's brought about bad genes. That's all sin. You can thank the serpent for introducing it to Adam and Eve, or enticing them, I should say. But God has a plan, and God's plan is in his timing. That is why it's fallacy for anybody to try to predict when Jesus is coming back. Well, we know what season. Maybe. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. All the scribes and prophets and everybody missed it. Oh, except for one man. There was this old man. He would go to the temple every day. And God told him, he said, you will not die until you see the salvation of Israel. His name is Simon. There's a lot of Simons in your Bible if you haven't paid attention. But this old man, Mary and Joseph, brought Jesus to be dedicated. And he saw them coming, and he ran up and excited, and he said, I have seen the salvation of my God. Now I can rest. Can you imagine? You're the only person God has told you will see him before you die. And he knew at that point he could go on. Now, they were expecting a king to rise up and come and overthrow Rome. Well, that's not what happened. Matter of fact, it was the barbarians that did it. But in the end, God's plan is God's plan. Let's quit trying to predict it. I'm not saying Jesus is coming back tomorrow. I'm not saying he's coming back next week. I'm not saying he's coming back right now. I'm saying he's coming back. We have to have our lives ready. We have to make sure that we are standing true to what he has told us to be doing. We got some people that, well, I'm going to go off and I'm going to hit this. I'm going to hit this. How about doing what you're supposed to be doing? That's why he never told us. He wants to come back and find us doing what he said for us to do. Years ago, my family got involved in a church that taught that instead of Jesus taking the church out, which the Bible clearly does teach, that it would be reversed. He was going to create special places for people to be kept. They would be blessed. And our pastor at that time would drive around and say, well, this is one of those blessed places. And so we were gearing up to be Amish. Yeah, it was about as much fun as it sounds. And in the end, he decided that the area he was in, that God had told him 30 years ago, was to be a blessed area. It wasn't such a blessed area, and was heading to Canada. Canada said, no way, you stop right there at the border. So he ended up dying in Maine. The point of that being is we're messing things up. God didn't tell us to stop right here, create a little community. These communities do not last because they're not of God. Okay? There have been communes for centuries. Even the first church tried it. They all went and sold all that they had, brought it to the church, and then it was divvied out to everybody. Everybody's debts were paid. Only problem is the people that knew how to make money went out and made more money, and the people that knew how to stay in debt stayed in debt because they went out and got more debt. Well, I'm debt-free. Let's go get more debt. Church will just keep paying for it. Doesn't work. By the way, that's called socialism, communism. It doesn't fly. God said, you don't work, you don't eat. I like that philosophy. Now, fast forward to today. We're seeing things changing in this country, around the world. Wrong is right, and right is wrong. Boy is girl, and girl is boy. Or is it they? We are so topsy-turvy. There are leaders. Never in my lifetime have I ever seen any world leader dare make fun of the President of the United States. We should be incensed that Vladimir Putin has. But conservatives aren't. Not my president. Yeah, he is. I don't care if you vote. I think he did steal it. Just getting that out there. But he was sworn in. That's all that matters. And that tells me I have to pray for him. Did I chuckle at some of the memes with the golf ball? Yes. But I stopped. Enough was enough. All right. You know what helped me? Miss Vicky put a little meme, shared something. Somebody else did too. It's enough. Stop making fun of him. Again, I've told you before, we should be having pity on this man. Our hearts should be breaking that we have such a corrupt system that they would use him like they're doing. He is obviously ill. But God's got things. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what it's going to take. He knew what it would take for the United States to finally shake itself. Do you know where the United States would be if we had not gotten really wrapped up and involved in World War II? We'd still be a sleeping giant. You know what happened in the 40s? Starting in the 40s? Revival started breaking out. The Holy Spirit began getting poured out on the church. Do you know what happened after World War II? We went from being this great big country that just kind of, we meddled in things, to a superpower. And because of that status, the gospel of Jesus Christ has gone to countries that it could never get in before. We were sneaking Bibles into Russia and into China. We were sending people over to Africa. We were sending missionaries in places where people didn't know there was people living. The gospel of Jesus Christ got around the world. And if we had not done that, in my opinion, might have delayed the coming of the Lord. Because that's one of the signs that the gospel will be preached all around the world. The reason we want him to come back is so that the suffering and the evil can stop. That's why. So, I had a couple scriptures, which I'm going to have to bring up this one first, though, because as I was reading, I said, God, I got to do this one first. I have to do this one first. And it's 2 Peter. Oh, by the way, it's 18 verses. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the things which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. Remember the word scoffers. All right. And saying, where is this the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for the fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Hold on right there. Those last two verses I just read about. You wonder why? One of the reasons why I believe that the earth is a lot older than 10,000 years? Those two verses right there. They talked about one world being destroyed and being covered in water, and then earth that is now afterwards. We're not talking about Noah's flood. If you know anything about what scientists are, they keep going back and forth from what I see on what they think killed the dinosaurs, but they do believe a flood was part of it. And having mind, I can tell you right now, there is evidence that there was a lot of water over the entire, over this part. We're in Ohio, man. And so anyhow, there's just all kinds of evidence that there was sea life over top of us. And that's exactly what he's talking about. And that it was judgment that fell. All right, carry on. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promises, look for the new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace. Stop. Be found in peace. How many people, what is trying to happen right now? Every time you look at the news, every time you jump on Facebook, somebody's trying to steal your peace. Everybody is focusing on the garbage, and nobody is trying to focus on keeping your peace. I praise God when, you know, I see my believers, they're out there and they put things about honoring the position. You may not like the man, but you have to honor that position. I didn't like my last platoon. Well, my last platoon sergeant was my friend, so I did. But the one platoon sergeant I had, I didn't like him. He told my OIC that my wife was his wife. I was willing to lose a stripe that day. Although I think I might have got promoted if I'd have done it. Nobody liked him. But we're supposed to be in peace and without spot and blameless. Okay, next. And consider that the long-suffering our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Remember that as well. I mean, just in general. There are people twisting the word of God every day. The serpent, by the way, again, serpent was not the devil. It was an actual creature. The serpent twisted the scripture. Did not God say this? God knows you won't die. He twisted it. That's how he gets us all. Well, you know, well, the Bible says don't commit adultery. Yeah, but your wife, you know, she's been cold towards you. Well, I can justify that. No, you can't. That's a twisting of a script. That's a total perversion of a scripture. Now, as they do the rest of the scriptures. Next. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Peter was trying to make people understand that there's a time coming in which people are going to take this the word and they're going to twist it. They started it years ago. The grace message got twisted. You don't have to change. Yes, I say come as you are, but don't leave the same. If you aren't being changed by your relationship with God, you don't have a relationship. That's all there is to it. You don't know who God is. You need to change inside. Well, you know, I don't feel any. I didn't feel any different the day, the night, or the morning, whenever it was. I don't remember. I was so drunk. I didn't feel any different. But boy, when I did sober up, I remembered I prayed that prayer. I remembered it, and I began to change. It was a slow road, or not a slow road, but it's a good road. I'd rather make the changes steady and slow and steady as opposed to quick and burnout. See, we got this whole it's better to burn out than fade away idea, right? It's what we listen to. No. I want to go steady. A train takes its time. It builds up its steam, but boy, it is hard to stop. God doesn't need jackrabbits. Jackrabbit's going to run out of time. And they'll die of a heart attack. He needs you steady. He needs you in for the long haul. Many preachers that I've seen rise up, and the Bible even teaches against this, they rise up quickly. Proverbs in particular talks about it, that people who rise up quickly are quicker to fall. They're quicker to burn out. They don't have a foundation. That's why they say Rome was not built in a day. Rome's a great city. I mean, it was the premier city of its time. They had water. They had sewers. I mean, this place would have been phenomenal. They had theaters. They had libraries. They had anything you could think of. That was pretty much, I don't know how long it actually took for them to overthrow it, but when they went in there, I'm going to tell you right now, the barbarians destroyed everything. The water supply. I don't know about y'all, but you know, hey, that's a pretty smart idea. Let's not tear that up. No, let's tear it up. Let's go show how smart we really are. They got fresh water coming from the mountain spring. Let's tear it up. But to tell you how ingenious and how smart they were, those aqueducts still stand in many places today after war after war after war. Don't you know we bombed that pretty good? The Allies hammered these areas, and yet these things still stand because they took time. Their cobblestone roads, they are better than some of ours. And we got 6 feet of concrete in them, and they just got some packed down gravel and some stones really tight. There are things you eliminate and things you don't. Now, see if I can get back in to where I wanted to start. I want to read this to you out of Proverbs. Unless he wants to bring it up, I didn't actually set it to bring it up. But it's Proverbs 30. Here, I got to read this to you first, though. I chuckled when I read it. Because I'm like, okay, I know so many people trying to teach your kids not to say the word stupid. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 2. Surely, I am more stupid than any man. It's in your Bible. Downside is, it's a man. So, from my standpoint, that's... But what I wanted to read to you was starting in verse 11. It says, there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet it is not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives to devour the poor from the earth and the needy from among men. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not believe that he was speaking in general. I believe he was speaking prophetically that there's coming a generation that will not honor its father and mother. There's a generation coming that will be prideful. Yeah, we're here. We're here. This is the generation. It's not the boomers, the Xers, the whatever. It's us collectively across this planet right now. Well, my mama, my dad. Listen, we all mess up. You are now responsible. Once you became an adult, you are stinking responsible for your own actions. I'm glad to get the good amens on that one. Because we are adults. That's what adults do. It may take you a minute to adjust. Well, find your gear, grab it, and get traction and go. But you can't keep sitting back, well, it's the way I was raised. If the way you were raised is wrong, stop it. Thank you. Change the way you're doing it. Somebody may have something, just listen. That is kind of why you come here. is to hear the Word of God. What it says, the Word of God will tell you how to live your daily life if you will just do it. Well, how does it know whether to tell me whether I should buy a new car? Why don't you just talk to the Holy Spirit and ask Him, God, this is my desire and you know what my need is. Open the door. Boom. Because the Bible says in Matthew 6, He already knows what you need. You just have to ask. And, oh, by the way, you need to be seeking His righteousness, His will for your life, not what you want to do. I can't imagine my life right now if I had chose to ignore what God had called me to do and do what I wanted to do. Can you? I'm blessed. I believe God wants His people to be wealthy, debt-free. That's not the promise of the Word. There are promises you can hold on to and get out of debt. But that's not the point of the Word. The Word is to take you and introduce you to the Provider. God, I got myself in a pickle, and I need somebody who can open the jar so I can get out. He's the only one who knows how to do it, and He will do it time and time again, as long as you are in obedience with what He has orchestrated for your life. Oh, but God just took me through hell. Yeah, you go through hell for a little bit. I'm not going to deny that. When I was living La Vida Loca there, crazy, for those of you who don't know what that means, I was living a crazy life for about 2 years. I did what I wanted to do. I was kind of happy, you know, because I'd had so many people telling me that I needed to be sorrowful and this and this and this, and that I needed to just surrender it all. They didn't even know how to surrender it all to God. But yet, I was kind of happy there for a while, and then I realized I'm not as happy as I thought. But I'm going to tell you right now, even though times get tough, you know, spiritually, you know, whatever's going on, I would still rather be here than there. And I can't imagine being in this world right now to where everybody is screaming. I told you last week, there's such anger and hatred in the earth right now that is rising up. I can't imagine being here without God. There's no, what do you hold on to? Suddenly boys are girls and girls are boys and they're competing in athletics together? I get it. There's some girls that they're pretty strong. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I had a little girl and she had to wrestle a boy, that ain't happening. I know boys. By the way, some of them would just forfeit the round because they wouldn't do it. How's that fair to them? I'll tell you this. I knew two girls in high school that wanted to wrestle. They were in my history class, and my history class was the wrestling coach. And we want to wrestle. And coach said, who's going to wrestle? Now, the one was real pretty. And they said, who's going to wrestle you? About that time, half the boys in the class raised their hand. That should tell you what's on a boy's mind. There's no ending of who wanted to wrestle. Girls have played football. Jesse had one on his team. Notice that when they got into high school or junior high, when they started hitting harder, she didn't play anymore. She was pretty decent. Track and field, we know that. But in the end, folks, I can't imagine being here without the Word of God telling me there's a generation coming. It's going to blame its parents. Everything's mom and dad's fault. Get over it. You made your decisions. You made your bed. It's your baby. Now rock it. Now, Proverbs 21. Again, these scriptures are not coming up, and I'll tell you why here in just a second. Unless Jason's got lightning fast fingers. Proverbs 21 and 24. A proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name. Remember I told you to remember scoffers? That's in Peter. Peter said, in the last days there will be scoffers. A proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. Everything he does is in pride. Folks, God opposes the proud. I don't care what you think about anybody, but I'm going to tell you right now, God will not be mocked, and he will stand against those who are arrogant. Let me read this, the verse up above it. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. I went through this week as I'm trying to make these notes, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I went through with highlighter, and I'm highlighting which ones are maybe address a fool, which one addresses wrath, which one addresses the proud, and you know, and all. So I've got this color code in the front of my introduction to Proverbs there, trying to remember what's what, and I've got my markers out on my desk, and I'm like, I got that all done. I went through the entire book of Proverbs, and I'm like, those are the scriptures that you brought up. How do I preach this message? Because it is all over the book of Proverbs. Well, and I was, man, yesterday afternoon, I was like, I've got to get those notes organized. I just have to be organized. I don't have to have a bunch of stuff written down. I got to have it organized. It just wasn't coming. And last night, I'm like, I'm tired, Lord. I'm going to have to go to sleep. I went to sleep. Woke up this morning. And she says, how'd you sleep? I said, honestly, I didn't sleep good. I kept thinking of John Lejeune. And I found out today it's Lejeune. General John Lejeune, not John Lejeune. We've called it Camp Lejeune. It's Camp Lejeune because he's, Cajun. He was born in Louisiana, so he's Cajun. And it's like, well, that makes sense. But anyhow, so I was like, every hour, his name. I went to bed with his name. I still have no idea what it's about. However, I went in there, showered, and went in, sat down, had my coffee. And she's in there baking, and I'm reading some things, and I'm like, grab my Bible here, and I'm like, God, I need the organization. You know what God told me? He said, start here and go. Okay. So now I get to begin the message. No, it's all been part of it. But God wanted me to establish those two things right there for you. Scoffer. Anytime we read about a scoffer in here, by the way, most times it's dealing with wrath. But wrath and pride go hand in hand. And we needed to understand that. And when I was, like I said, I was looking in here, this word scoffer, it's hilarious that it means this word, is the Hebrew word lutz. You know what lutz means? In our language, you steal. But it's talking about somebody who's mocking. Particularly somebody who stands up with their mouth and instead of being able to speak the language, they mimic it and they make fun of it. You know, we all do that when we get stuck on a word. I like Robert Morris's way of doing it. He sees a name, he says, and King so-and-so with a really, and King with a really big name I cannot pronounce. But see, just like Lejeune and Lejeune, there's no R in it. Unless you're French, you don't know to pronounce it with an R. And I'm sure that he had a world of a time getting people to say his name right. I have been called Waddell, Woodle. I'm like, look at my name. It's double everything. Woodell. And yes, I get it. They could have stopped at Wood. Because Dell means a wooded valley. My middle name is Dale. So I'm a wooded valley, wooded valley. It means a lot to know what your names mean. But anyhow, so God told me to start where I had started my markings. And I want to read some of these scriptures. And I'm going to expound on them a little bit. I'm not going to go real crazy. Because some of these things are dealing with pride. And some of them are dealing with anger. Some of them are dealing with fools. And God said, this is for today. This is for our time. And we need to pay attention. Because the church is being so easily sucked into posting and making fun of our leaders, making fun of preachers. Listen, David, Saul was not really the king's God's choice for king. David was. And even David, now if you've read your Bible, and you probably should take a time to start reading it through to get your knowledge of it, Saul was killed in battle. An arrow found him. And that's what killed him. But when they got back and one of David's servants said, how did he die? Well, the servant thought, hey, I'm going to get a pat on the back from the king because I killed the guy who's been trying to kill him for the last umpteen years. He said, I killed him, my king. David looked at him and said, how dare you? How dare you touch God's anointed? Can you imagine being in that guy's shoes right at that moment? I bet his heart fell into his stomach. See, he was probably with David and knew that David had snuck into a cave where the king is surrounded by warriors. He snuck. Boy, you got to think about the intestinal fortitude, okay, that David had. He sneaks into this cave and he's got sleeping warriors, armed guards laying all around the king. And he's creeping around like that. And he goes in and he picks up the thing and cuts the corner off of his tunic. And he sneaks back out, goes a distance away. He can still be seen and heard, but he can't be shot with an arrow. And he wakes up the king. And he says, if I wanted to kill you, my king, I could have. And David held up the corner of his tunic. And Saul realized he wasn't out to kill him. If David had wanted him dead, David could have killed him many times over. But that's not what David wanted. By the way, the ending for that soldier that took credit for that was he was killed. We have got to start being careful, folks. You don't be spreading garbage, which we'll get to that here in a second. But I want to caution you. I mean, not only just Facebook, but your conversations. We talked about grumbling and complaining. I'm going to tell you right. I've had several people come to me and say, God kicked me in the kneecaps, man. That was the point. And just so you know, I'm going to say this. Two of you I knew. God told me to do it. I had to. Because I want to see you blessed. The blessings come through our gratefulness. Sometimes we just got to suck it up and shut up. Okay? Now, when pride comes, we're almost starting chapter 11. Like I said, I'm going to be hitting and missing, and I'm not always going to tell you exactly where I'm at. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. The church needs to start operating in humility. And we're only going to operate in wisdom if we're operating through humility. Well, brother, I got my faith, and I'm going to go. We're going to march down Main Street. We're going to take this back. That ain't how it's done, honey. I'm sorry, but that is not God's way. Never. Only when God is bringing full-on judgment does he walk down Main Street. Otherwise, the church grew by little groups of true believers who were persecuted daily. That's how the Ithacus came about. One would, if they came up to somebody they perceived to be a believer, they would draw that swoop. And if the person was a believer, they would draw the other swoop and make the sign of the fish. Meaning they were all believers. It's through humility we walk in wisdom. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. I don't care how rich you are. Don't care how poor you are. None of that's going to save you, only righteousness. And the only way you're going to have righteousness is through Jesus Christ. Your acts don't get you there. Leviticus 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. We got so many people running out and doing things, they're not listening to the word of God. They are doing their own thing. Well, I'm just going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. How about asking God, do I do this? Give me the peace. And if you do not have peace, if your peace is not returned back to you, walk away. Or in some cases, run. Run away. The peace is not there. I think I dropped something. Yes, I did. My notes. If the peace is not there, you need to leave the situation. Walk away from it. And then ask God. You know, Maggie, I'm going to use you on this right here real quick. When she was trying to sell her house, she's like, God, what is going on? I mean, she came, we talked, we prayed. What is going on? And God told her what to do. She did it, and you hadn't even actually done it. It was the commitment to do it. A day. Boom. Everything fell into place. God just wants you to listen to what He's telling you. Oh, but Pastor, I can't do that. Well, then you are not going to find peace in a time of world chaos. Yes, thank you. It's not just this country. It's every country around the world. And if you aren't paying attention, China is banking on this. They are building up their troops right now in the South China Sea. The Marine Corps is establishing and redeveloping their amphibious doctrine. The Marine Corps has gotten rid of all tanks. We don't have any tanks anymore. You know why? They said we ain't going to need them fighting the Chinese on the islands. They're practicing island invasions right now. While we're sitting back here thinking, oh, we just got this going on in Washington, D.C. There's a bigger problem stirring right now, and our military leaders need your prayer and wisdom. Because, yeah, while there may be millions and hundreds of millions of guns here, China ain't just invading here. They know better. Japan was told better. Japan, and we saw what happened there. China is doing it differently. They're going to start spreading out, and they're taking places that we see as not any of our business. But the truth of the matter is, we got to be careful. Now, we carry on. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. It doesn't matter if the LGBTQ, LMNOP, whatever organization gets together with the Black Lives Matters and all these other acronyms and stuff that just pop up, the Me Too, the hashtag, whatever. If they all join together, and I'm not saying Me Too is evil. I got to stand still. This Bible is being disobedient. If they all join together and they come against God, they will be punished. They will be destroyed. I'm going to quote a scripture that we all know. Said, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. That is not how we were taught it, were we? We were taught pride goes before a fall. Remember what I told you about twisting the scriptures? That's exactly what happened. The haughty spirit leads you to the fall. You can get up after a fall, can't you? Anybody fell down? Is there anybody who's never fell down, okay? Okay, no, nobody can. Because you were able to get back up. But if you are destroyed, let me tell you what destruction is. And they are finding it, archaeologists are finding this more and more. They're going back in Egypt, and they are finding evidence of kings that they didn't know about. There were pharaohs, they had no idea. Because when a new pharaoh came in, if he didn't like that guy, he destroyed all evidence that he ever existed. They scraped it off of their carvings, or they changed the carving. They eliminated their names from everything. If it was in a book, they destroyed the book. They destroyed everything. You want to know why it's a fallacy for people to go running around? Well, let's find the tomb of Jesus Christ. We've got his DNA. Now, I don't claim to be a smart man. Handsome, yes. Smart. You got to keep you on your toes. But if you say you've got the DNA of Jesus Christ, doesn't that mean in order for it to be a positive match, you had to go to Jesus himself and get a sample? Yeah. It's a fallacy. Now, it's people wanting to prove that he was still in the grave. Everything about Jesus Christ was almost destroyed. Where he was born, where he was crucified. There was a move to destroy all of this. Where he baptized. That's great. I don't need that evidence. Because I know what men are like. They will destroy everything to prove that they are right. And just because we see things the way we want doesn't mean we're right. Now, let me carry on here. See, I got to go two whole pages. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. If you're well-advised, it means you're taking counsel. You're getting with other believers. If you need advice on finances, don't go to the guy who's on welfare, who won't work. No. If you know, you need advice in your marriage, don't go to the person who's been divorced 7 times. Go to the people that have been married over 50, 60 years. 30. We're getting there. Yeah, you guys are coming up with us too, aren't you? You go to those. And if anybody says, oh, it's just been such a peachy thing, they lie. You stay together for 60 plus, for 30, whatever. You stay together by perseverance. Now, a scoffer seeks wisdom. Remember what a scoffer is. He's prideful and does not find it, but knowledge is easy to him who understands. Now, the Bible says that God uses the simple to confound the wise. So I figure that's why I'm up here. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him is the lips of knowledge. By the way, it's Proverbs 14:7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you perceive in him the lips of knowledge. A fool will always show how stupid they are. I had one man come to my house the other day. He was buying something, and he proceeded to tell me that he's got 3 acres. He's got this little pole-built house that has a little more square footage than this stage. Okay, it's only about that wide, and it might be 30 by 30, so 900 square feet. Okay, tiny little thing. He's got a trashed out trailer up front. His son lives in a trailer over on the other side that has actually more add-ons than what the original trailer ever had in square footage. And then he's got his shop. And he tried to tell me that he's paying over $4,000 a year in property taxes. You got less than 3 acres. You have that house, and I pay a third. And I have this house with X amount of square footage, a barn that has over 6,000 square feet in it, and I'm just under you on acreage, and yet you're paying 3 times the amount that I am. He said, yeah, and I was talking to, so suppose this was some county official he was speaking to as far as his shop. He said, you keep the sliding doors, because if you go with the roll-up doors, the assessor sees it as a luxury. And you're going to get charged for a garage instead of a barn. Sliding door, it's a barn. I'm like, well, how did my father-in-law build his shop with roll-up doors? He's a farm. This farmer's got roll-up doors. That farmer's got roll-up doors. Because he's a fool. The man is a fool. I've known him all my life. He's a fool. He thinks in him is the lips of wisdom, and yet he denies the existence of God, who he knows. He is a fool. And the Bible tells us right there, flee, get out of his presence. Now, I've quoted this scripture often in here without giving you a reference, but it's 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Verse 15, the simple believe every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. We'll stop, maybe camp out on that one for a minute. Oh, brother, did you hear what's happening? Did you read the news? Well, what? This is what's come across on this.com. They say in this, this, and this. Oh, really? Well, pretty much this, this, and this are illegal. And you really, I mean, listen, I know there's a bunch of people pushing for martial law. You do not want martial law. Military tribunes are the law. It's what they say. We don't want martial law. There's a reason we don't want martial law. But I'm here to tell you, the simple will grab hold of everything and they believe it. But the Bible says the prudent take what is said, mull it around, put it with the evidence, and say, okay, we'll see. We will see. Especially today, folks, every bit of news. Well, did you hear that this happened? No, it didn't happen. You read an article that was a misleading. Even conservatives are doing it. I can't tell you how many times I was like, that's a conservative news source. Go to read. Their title had nothing to do with the story. They mislead you to get you to read the story because why? They're banking on you biting and believing the little bit of a lie they told up in the headlines. If you don't tell the whole truth in it, you're misleading people. Is that God giving me the light thing to... Verse 16, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. I've highlighted these all in orange as far as the ones that deal with your temper and anger and wrath. And this one right here is one of them. First off, we have to depart from evil. But a fool rages and is self-confident. And a quick-tempered man acts foolishly. When you are quick-tempered, that means something happens and you're ready to throw down. You're ready to fight without stopping and listening to all the facts of the story. You have to understand everything that happened. The Bible tells us that it's foolishness. It is counted foolishness to us to judge a matter solely on one witness. That's paraphrased. If Phil tells me one thing, Bob tells me another, I actually have to stop and now put the two because they had a different perspective on it. One person I bought something the other day that I've been needing for my tractor, and the guy says, this thing's real heavy. I never picked it up. I mean, it's heavier than the last one, but I said, can we take it apart? We took it apart. We took it apart, and we loaded it up. Oh, I don't know if we can pick this up. We may have to wait. I'm like, listen, I was promised somebody here to help me a half hour ago, so I want to get this thing loaded. And I said, let's do it. He picked it up, and here's the perspective, folks. I'm used to lifting. Even though I broke my back 2 years ago, I'm used still to lifting. And even before then, I had gotten away from doing this and picking stuff up. That's your number one way you're tearing your back out. I started picking up like this, and it's amazing how much stronger your legs are than those little muscles in your back. See, in my youth, oh yeah, I got a strong back. Yeah, if you don't take care of your back when you're young, you're going to be walking around like this when you get up in the morning. And it ain't just a Tim Conway impersonation. And we picked it up. Now, mind you, I would put him 15 to 20 years younger than me. And he's over there struggling, and he complained about how heavy it was. In perspective, no, it's not. Because he bent over and picked it up with his back. It's all about getting all the information and how you see it. My perspective, no, it wasn't, because I bent over and picked it up. Now, I tried to pick it up with Justin. We couldn't do it together. He just doesn't have the strength yet. And I know that. So I told him, you do this. And he's like, why? Because now he doesn't, but he will. He will develop in strength. That's the thing. We all develop. Well, I can't do this. You will. You know, I'm trying to help Jesse get ready for the Navy. There's things you're going to have to do. You're going to develop some serious changes in your life. And if you can make them now, they'll be so much easier here. And, you know, even when Joshua was trying to work on, I said, do this. I remember one time I made Joshua do push-ups in the shop because he left the creeper down. Well, what's wrong with that? When you work in a shop with other people and somebody steps on it, there's a problem. And I tell you that because that's how I learned. My feet were on a trash can, and I was doing push-ups until that sergeant got tired because I left my creeper on the floor. Do you want to know one thing I've never done since that day? Left my creeper on the floor. Even if I'm getting back down on it, I will pick it up because I didn't like doing those push-ups. But it made a change in me. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. If we will take the time to slow down, the Bible says this, it's great understanding. I'm trying to see the thing from Caleb's point of view. I'm trying to get all the facts before I act. See, if we just automatically jumped off and went to war on everything, every time, which seems to be what's happening right now, people are... they're so easily moved that they'll jump in with any movement without considering the facts. And I'll point this out. This will be where I stop today. January. Was it 6th? The Capitol building was taken. Now, granted, if the police officers had really wanted to open up, there would have been a lot more dead. But here's the problem. They already know, and I do believe there probably were. There were instigators. You get an instigator into anything, and even people who are there peacefully, they're going to jump in. They're going to get involved. I had to stop and think, would I have gotten involved if I'd gone? I was invited. Would I have gotten involved? Would I have gone in? See? It's where you have to think about things in the end. Okay, we're here. What now? What was the point? It was impetuous. People just got fired up and listened to a few hotheads. Never listen to a hothead. You will wind up in more garbage. You will end up in, and if you know you're in the wrong crowd, you will end up in more fights. My dad told me of an instance one time in his youth with his brothers. One of them did something. Primarily, he was flirting with somebody he shouldn't have been flirting with. Well, they were slightly outnumbered, 3 to the rest of the bar. And because the rest of the bar was friends with the guy. And so they came after my dad and his two brothers. They were able to get out of the bar, except the brother who did all the troublemaking. Now, you know, when you're brothers, you stick together, right? You better say yes. When your brothers say, I don't care if you're wrong, I ain't going to let them beat on you. I might let you take the first punch so you get the point across. Don't do this anymore. But they chased my dad and one brother down an alley. Because the brother that did the stirring got to his car and left. My dad and his other brother, because they're both deceased. They ran down this alley to a dead end. My dad said, "That's when I lost this tooth." He said, "We got our butts beat." And he said, "All because this brother couldn't keep his hands off of a woman." Now, I ain't saying they didn't go back and bless the other brother. I don't know for sure if they did that. That's where the story ended with my dad. But knowing my family, there might have been a home blessing that took place. Laying on of hands at home. Because that is the kind of family I came from. Wait a minute, where were you at in this fight? But see, quick-tempered. People who, when I say this, quick-tempered, they can't control their passions or their desires. One thing you don't do, anybody's ever been around bikers, you know one thing you don't do? Touch their bike without permission. That bike is more sacred than their woman. Now, having said that, the second thing you don't touch, their woman, especially if they're one percenters. There is a shallow grave for you in the desert somewhere. But their bike, you don't do it. But there's guys, "Oh, just look at that." Don't do it. They're more crazy than these guys at the car shows. Don't touch my car. And if you put all the time that they did in it, you'd understand too. But there are people who are leading us astray by throwing up little things to get you fired up. I read the news the other day, and I'm not kidding you. I mean, it was just the headlines. And instantly, I started feeling anger boiling in me. And this is some sick stuff that has happened. And it's not even political. It was just sick stuff that was happening. And I felt anger burning. And the problem with anger, when it starts burning like that, you can't control it to just one particular area. It will start, "Remember this wrong? Hey, Joe, remember when so-and-so did this to you?" Joe's like, "Wait a minute, why am I mad at them? I was mad at this." That's because it's anger. It's not righteous indignation. It is anger that is boiled up and is now trying to bring up the past in order to get Joe or me to go back, rehash something, and stir up unforgiveness. Like I said, we ain't even touched some of the scriptures I want to get about stirring. Because I got a really good analogy for it. So next week, I'm about there. So next week, just plan on waiting an hour after service before you eat. Just giving you a heads up. Because it's gross. But it gets the point, it drives the point home. Why do you gotta be gross? Jesus talked about dung pile all the time. Yeah, that was pretty gross. They got the idea. But this week, like I said, starting, here's where you're going to start. This is where your practical application comes in. On your news, be careful what you're watching. Get the facts, get the news, and turn it off. On Facebook or any social media, if you're following somebody who's constantly stirring, you know, you can hit this other little button that says unfollow or block. I got a lot of people blocked because I'm tired of the garbage. If I go on Facebook, it's to see Morgan's new truck and then fight down the jealousy. Caleb's with me on this. Or it's to see that they've got permanent custody. It's stuff like that. Or it's a funny. Something that actually is funny. I don't find many comedians today funny. Yes. They're more vulgar than anything. What happened to Joe? I mean, I watched Red Skelton the other day. And what else? Tim Conway, the best of Tim Conway. I watched that guy. I don't see how anybody ever got any work done around him. That's comedy. When you get a good belly laugh, not when you're thinking, that's kind of gross. Why do we need to go down this road? But watch what you're allowing to stir your passions. If your passion is for people, I can promise you, you may want to turn the news off for a while. Because, believe it or not, Nancy Pelosi is a person. President Biden is a person. And you can't have passion for people if you have hatreds for them. By the way, that's Art's version, but Jesus said it. You can't have love for your brother who you do know. You can't hate somebody else and love another person. Because as much as you love God is how much you love the person the least. So let that sink in. How much you love Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, all the liberals, president, is how much you love God. Hope that was a good swift kick to the seat. By the way, that was courtesy of Glenn Kaiser, preacher out of Chicago, also a musician. That is how much we love God. Boy, ever since that really sunk in, I was like, God, I don't really like people, then do I? I've gotten out where I can love people in spite of who they are or what they're doing or what they've done. Because I actually have a new revelation. Hell is forever. It's not a stopping point and then you get to go to heaven. It's away from God forever. So let's remember that. All right, let's stand. And in all of our getting, folks, we spend our lives trying to get things. We want degrees. We want this. We want new trucks, new cars, new homes, new this, new that. And those are all fine. But in all you're getting, we'll hit it. The Bible says, get understanding. You can have all the wisdom in the world, but if you don't understand it, what good does it do? I knew better. Yeah, you did. If you'd understood it, you wouldn't have done it. We need to get it. That means it's a heart thing. It sinks in and begins to change who we are. Well, remember we have a little fellowship meal over there. I'm going to tell you what, that is a line of crock pots if I ever saw one. Yeah, it's been a while. I saw pictures that came up on Facebook from a year ago, and I was like, oh yeah, that's when all this garbage started. I polished my hammers. That's how bored I was. Well, if you understand me, you'll know that I actually took great joy in doing that. So that's why I had three hammers polished and not just the one. But know this, everything is temporary. But I do believe we've been changed. Some things are going to be good. We're going to see God rise up greater in people. We're going to see man's heart. There's going to be people crying out for God because they're going to hit the end of this, whatever this path is they're on, and it's not leading anywhere. There's no hope. With God, there's hope. Amen. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord God, we thank you for your mercy. Your kindness, Lord, I pray right now that you help us all to control and to put into your hands any anger that is generated by news, by social media influence. Father, social media is not evil. It is no different than meeting at the restaurant for coffee. Father, I thank you and praise you that though you can use it, that even today we used it to preach your word on that very same platform that the devil uses for evil. Now, Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving in us. You're helping us to gain that understanding. Father, you're helping us to identify the things in us and change. Lord, I bless your holy name. Father, I bless these people. And Father, even by blessing these people, I thank you for the food we're about to eat. We bless it, Father. I thank you that you're blessing each and every hand that had something to do with preparing it. In Jesus' name, amen.